Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome again to what I call my fireside chat. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and I'm definitely excited about tonight and the things that I believe that are essential in this hour. It definitely, when we are discussing the presentation or the introduction that we are making in reference to who God is. So before I get started tonight, just a quick word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Oh God, we glorify you. Lord, we appreciate you. Father, we ask that the words that we speak tonight, oh God, be glorified by you. Father, there's not anything that you desire that we call or that we say or that we speak upon. Lord, we pray, God, that you, Father, remove that from our thoughts. Father, that we only speak those things that you have given us to talk about, to speak to. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Dear heart, we are blessed to be with you tonight, and I'm grateful because of the many things that God has given us in what he has said to us and where we're going. Without going any further into a whole lot of other dissertations, I really want to jump into what we are discussing tonight. And my purpose tonight was to, again, we started talking about Genesis chapter 1 because, as I said before, there's a crazy number of people that are walking away from the present day church. And this is mainly because we are introducing Christianity to them and we have not introduced them to God. So what I'm saying is, and someone asked me last week, what do I mean by introducing Christianity to people? And we're introducing a process and not the person. And so the process in Christianity has so many different shapes and forms, has a lot of variations of it, to the point to where we really don't have the real respect for who God is. And because of that, we really don't introduce Jesus Christ. We don't really introduce God. We don't. We introduce Christianity, which becomes a process. And again, introducing that process to people does not tell them who God is. What it does, it shows them how that individual, how that person, how that church, how that ministry believes God operates. A wise man once told me that it's best to seek the heart of God than what's in the hand of God. Because if you only seek what's in his hand, when he closes it, you don't have anything. But if you seek what's in God's heart, you can always have what's in his hand. And so what we introduce people to is the hand of God. That's it. We introduce them to what, and they only seek after what's in God's hand and never discover what's in God's heart. So our presentation now has grown stale, and the aroma behind something that is stale, mildew, it begins to rotten, and folks don't like those smells. They don't like how it looks, it molds, and that is what is happening to the presentation that religion has caused in the eyesight of the people that are, quote-unquote, walking away from the church, but not from God. And so it is imperative that the introduction of God comes from him. Now, how do we introduce God? Without any religious properties, ingredients in the mixture, we have to go to the bare bones of it. You know, many people, and I'm going to use this analogy because it's one of my issues. I have grown accustomed to drinking sweet tea. That's what I'm accustomed to. And so when it was time for me to just taste the tea, it tasted bitter, and I didn't want it. But I wanted the stuff that would make it sweet that was not good for me, but it tastes good to me. And later on, after drinking so much good sweet tea, it is bad for my body. Now, knowing that, if someone would have introduced regular tea to me, you know, and if I had an introduction of what tea is, you know, in its various herb form and what it's good for, I perhaps would not have desired to sweeten it, you know. And so because it was presented to me sweetened, I'm, you know, having drawbacks of drinking just pure tea or just having a little sweetener in it. And that sweetener, you know, has come in so many different shapes and forms, in coffee and, you know, in candy and things of that nature. My point is that we've introduced a candy Christianity of different flavors, shapes, sizes, white chocolate, dark chocolate, regular chocolate, no chocolate, and with peanuts, without peanuts, with peanut butter, without peanut butter. There's so many different ways, and we have yet to introduce who God is and his pure state. And so with that, you know, I've endeavored to talk about the different aspects of when we see Genesis chapter 1, where we were, and as we go back over that real briefly, as I get into chapter 2, we talked last about the creativity. And that creativity now is a spirit of creativity, and it rests with us. It is with us at all times. This is in your spirit, and your spirit now communicates through your thoughts, through your mind. And your mind now has to intrigue your soul or intrigue your body to follow what it is following, and hopefully it is your spirit. And so because we are made in the image of God. And so when we last talked, again, creativity, image of God, and I imposed a thought on the first Tuesday that I entered this discussion, and I imposed that thought again on the last Tuesday, and that is to know that what God did with us in Genesis chapter number 1 was done in an eternal state in the Garden of Eden, right? These things were not in the presentation of time. And so why is this significant? Because, again, I said time has a beginning and an end. But when God made your spirit now, it was created in the nature of him. It's his image. And so since it is created in his image, there is no death to your spirit. There is death for your soul and your body, because your spirit is made in the image of God, and that is where your life comes from. You may hear people say that the life is in the blood. As long as the blood is pumping in the body, that the body will live. You know, but once the blood stops pumping, the body dies. Your spirit is that lifeline. Once your spirit leaves this body, it is lifeless. So the life or the activity of the body is in the spirit. So now that's important, because if your image is in, if you as an image is that image of God, then your spirit knows who God is. But we have not come to the realization of connecting your spirit back with God. So when God communicates with you, he's communicating to your spirit. Doesn't communicate through your flesh, through your intellect, your soul. He doesn't communicate through your body, right? Your body actually responds to either your thought process or your spirit. And so your body is just acting out the things that it has been introduced to. Again, I used the analogy earlier talking about sweet tea, and so I introduced my body to sweet tea, so it responds to that. And so it does not respond positively to tea without sugar, you know. And so now there has to be a relearning, or my body now has to adopt as I make changes. in my thought to what I introduce to my body now has to change and adapt to what I'm giving it, right? So I want you to pick, because it's uniquely important when we talk about your introduction to God, okay? Your introduction or the presentation someone has made to you with God has come with a lot of different stuff. And tonight, I really want to focus on God without the stuff, if that makes sense. So, again, we go to the book of Genesis, and I like to tell people, I'm not a religious man. I'm a man that loves God, and there's a difference. You know, and I want to make some points here in Genesis chapter 1, down to verse number 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold," this is verse number 29, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all of the earth, and every tree in which is in, which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Verse number 30, "And so every beast of the earth, and so every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw that he had made, and behold," that's it, "God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good at the evening, and the morning were the sixth day." I want you to pay close attention as you read this, is that he's referring to them, not he. He's referring directly to them. God made them, meaning the spirit of man, the male and the female, he made them. Significant now, because he gives them. That means he had never given the spirit of man, male and female, dominion over each other. He never gave man dominion over woman. He didn't do that. You know, he never gave one spirit dominion over the other spirit that he had created in his image. I want you to just grab a hold of that now, because we live in a gender biased society here in the U.S. and where it has been for years to smother the voice of a woman. And so in biblical days, that was then as well. But there was no one spirit or given power or authority over the other. But the spirit that was created in the image of God, them, these two, he gave them dominion over everything that he had created. Now, if you go back, we had talked about a couple of weeks ago, is that in everything that God created was for man. It wasn't for him. He didn't need none of this stuff. You know, the only thing he was looking for was someone to worship him. And so this would tell you, right, who God is. He was not looking for slaves. He was looking for worshipers, people that would listen to him, because the true definition of worship only comes when you have obeyed God. There is no way you can worship the Lord and you have yet to obey him. He won't receive that. Doesn't mean he hates you. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Doesn't mean any of that. But the instructions that he gives, it gives you, as you follow them now, it allows you to worship him. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The earth and every creeping thing on it, yet to this very day, still obeys God, right? Everything that he created prior to man still obeys him. Because what he told the earth to do, what he told the trees to do, the animals to do, the birds in the air, what he told the sun, the moon to do, they are still obeying the voice of God, right? So in order to worship the Lord now, that means you have to obey him. How can you obey a God that you cannot hear from? I want to make that point now, because he speaks directly to your spirit, and he made your spirit in his image that he will communicate with your spirit. And if you cannot hear from the Lord, you cannot obey God, and which now comes to hinder the very process of you worshiping the Lord because of your work. Friendship. Now, I didn't say you had to do things in order for God to bless you. What I'm saying to you is that if you are going to worship the Lord, you must now be able to hear from him. John chapter 4, and you may hear me revert back to a verse or go and speak into some other things that are written in John chapter 4, verse number 24, says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? So you cannot worship the Lord in your intellect. You cannot worship the Lord with stuff and things. That's not how he does it, right? So in your spirit now, you have to hear from the God that you're worshiping. So again, I wanted to make this clear to you, that you were made in the image of God, and in the image of the Lord is what he communicates with. And so if your spirit hears this now, right, this is not a far reach. This is real content. If your spirit hears this or hears the voice of the Lord, it knows that it has dominion over everything, right, that God had created, not over people. Because you cannot change people. The only person or thing that can change people is God himself. You cannot change people, because majority of the folks that you're going to try to change, you're going to have to now encounter some of your own demons. And so you may have to deal with some things that you're wrestling with, trying to help someone else get to a certain point in their life, and you haven't reached a point where God wants you. So you cannot change people. And oftentimes I see where, and I had this discussion probably earlier today or yesterday or something that I said, to where, you know, women try to do things to manipulate, try to change men. You know, and it's, they want them to be the man that they want him to be, not say the man he is bad, but they want to try to manipulate and change that man. And there has yet to be a woman that can change a man, you know. And so there's yet to be a man that can change a woman. And so what God does, he doesn't deal or manipulate you. He talks to you. Now, if he can speak now, and I said this earlier a couple of Tuesdays ago, if he can speak and the earth changes and takes form, and I spoke to you regarding the fact that before the earth was this completed shape form, it was without shape or void. Before it had anything, it was without shape or void. And when God spoke to the earth, it became a chaotic earth, because now it's obeying him. And it's formed. It's doing the things that he said to do. And so it's important now that if God can speak to the earth and it obeys him, and he created these things for his vision, which is you, right, then how do you live in an authoritative position spiritually if you can't hear the voice of God? I'm not asking you to hear a preacher's voice. I'm not asking you to hear the voice of the evangelist, the pastor, the apostle, the prophet. I'm not asking you to hear that voice. I'm taking away the sweet tea, the sugar out of the tea. I'm taking away the sugar out of the coffee, right? This is pure caffeine. No sweetener. And that is your ability to hear from the Lord. Without anything else happening with you, around you, without anybody whispering in your ear, with anybody pulling you to go into this direction and telling you, when you shut everything down, if there is no sweetener, can you hear from the Lord? Think about this now. Because, you know, as we have gotten accustomed to people telling us who God is, they've only given us a dissertation of who God is to them. And sometimes they sugarcoat it and not tell you that in their, when they learned in their position of life who God is, it came through a lot of pain. There was a lot of bitterness. There was no sugar. Was no candy. Was not sweet tea. It was raw. A raw herb or something that was bitter to the taste. You got to think about this now. I want you to ponder that. And so what makes this even more powerful? Because this is not a presentation of what God does. This is a presentation of who God is. God wanted worshipers. And so in Genesis chapter number 1, when we dig deeper into this before we go into chapter 2, he wanted his image to worship him, but never to come to him and ask him for anything. If he created everything that his image needed, then his image would never come to him and say, Lord, I'm in need. His image would not ask him for anything because his image has dominion over everything. The only thing his image could do was come into the presence of God and worship him. Now, if you're reading this now where you are, you have to really escape from everything that's around you that is causing you to think or causing you to worry about tomorrow, worry about children, worry about spouse, worry about job, worry about health. If you just right where you are right now, think about it. You know, all God wanted from his image was to worship him. And in order for his image to worship him, God, knowing all things, created everything that his image would need, provided that for his image, and all he needed was him to worship him. It wasn't about giving no money. It wasn't about giving your neighbor a high five, standing up and running around the building we call church. It wasn't about that. It was about grabbing hold to this presentation that I was created for him. But he created things for me. But I was created for him. Look at that now. Pay close attention to this. He didn't create you for your children. He did not create you for your spouse. He gave you one. He blessed you with children. He did not create you for all of the things that we chase. He created you for him. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what shape or size you are, big, tall, small, little, petite, what we may call obese, oversized, or whatever that is. is your image, your spirit that he created, that would, that he left a void there, that your spirit would go and stand in that place to be in his presence, to worship him, because you, in your spirit, you've obeyed everything that he has told you to do, meaning that you were listening to him. Your spirit could hear from God, its creator, and it would obey God, and then it would worship the Lord. Think about that. I told you I was going a little bit deeper because there's some things I wanted you to see. When you now view Genesis chapter number 1, we don't really get into the mind of God until he creates his image, because everything else that was done wasn't done for him. Was not done for him. Have you... Now, this is interesting now, because as I say that, something hits my thought process. How many people have you encountered in life that did everything for an individual, never for themselves? The things they did for this individual was to free them up so they could spend time with them. Think about that now. How many folks have you encountered that loved you so much that everything they did was to free time up so they could just spend time with you? That is God's thought process. Let's get into, and I can't really say that. I really can't say that God's thought process, but I can really say that as you see this, as you look at it, He has developed, he has created, he has spoke to these things, this stuff, this earth, the sun, the moon. He's spoken to all of these things to do something, but he never gave these things dominion over his image. He gave his image dominion over these things, everything he had created. Now, the blessing in this. Is what happens, and he starts off, the writer, Moses starts off in chapter 2 by saying this, and I want you to hear this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work which God had created and made. Now, this is, so this now tells you a part of, it releases, the writer now gives you a doorway to God's thoughts, that everything that he had done, he was finished with it, and there was no need to do anything else. Nothing. This is my presentation now. I'm making a presentation to you based upon the writer, and I'm going to pull in some other things as we go through chapter 2. But as you dive into this now, right, I don't want to talk about Sabbath. I don't want to talk about that. I'm going to really just dive into God's thoughts, that he had spoken, things were created, his voice powerful, it follows him, it obeys him, and then he makes things happen when he speaks, right? And as he makes these things happen, he then decides, after he had done all of this, to now do something that has never been done again. And that was create man in his image. And it says them, which speaks to them, wasn't man by himself, but it was male and female. So and pay close attention to that now. And so then the writer says in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, verse number 5, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain, right? So before it ever rained, before water ever hit the earth and plants that were planted by his voice, herbs that grew by his voice were never warmed. What he spoke was enough for it to live and grow. Think about this now. Whatever God spoke now didn't need what we have today in order to make it grow. Alone, just by the voice of God, it grew. And then it says, but it had not rained. And for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now notice now, this is where people get mixed up at. Because, you know, God created the spirit of the man in his image, and the spirit of the man had dominion over everything. As they could not, these things that God had created could not see God, it knew the voice of God and obeyed God. And then he turns around and creates his image, and he gives his image dominion over this stuff. But he had not created the body. He hadn't done that. Because now it says, for the Lord is there causing the rain, but when there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So now, this would indicate that the spirit of the man was made first, because it is the image of God. The flesh of the man was formed from the dust of the earth, because, you know, now God brings water or rain into the conversation. There was always water. Now he brings rain in, and that rain falls from the heavens and mixes with the dust from the earth. Notice now, the earth still obeys God. So when God speaks, the rain now, the mist comes, and he now takes the dust from the earth and forms man from the ground. So man's spirit was created, but his body was formed. Spirit was created, but his body was formed. And as the Lord God formed him, when he breathed his spirit, when he pushed his spirit into his body, it now produces a soul. So the soul now is a byproduct of the spirit connecting to the body. Interesting thought here now. The soul now is the byproduct first. And the body that he formed from the dust of the earth coming together, and it now the man himself becomes soul. But God is still speaking to his spirit. He has never. So man is a three-part being. He has a spirit, he has a body, and a soul. Spirit, body, and soul. His soul doesn't have dominion over his spirit. His soul doesn't have dominion over what God had created. Only his spirit does. Think about this now. Because I might have to be here for a little while. Nothing in here from an emotional perspective that comes from your soul has dominion over what God created. Only your spirit does. But now, as I was speaking about this week to you earlier, My soul has indoctrinated my body to desire something sweet. When the sweet stuff my spirit can do without. My spirit has to have God. Before I, and again, we're not talking religion or Christianity, none of that stuff. My spirit comes from God, still desires God. But my soul, if it has been altered in any shape, form, or fashion, is going to desire the things that it has been able to partake of. And if it partakes of some things more, be it good, bad, or indifferent, it's going to desire those things because my body is responding to my soul, not my spirit. And my body was created before my soul. So if anything, my soul should follow the spirit. It should follow the body. It wasn't created first. It wasn't created second. It was the baby. It was the soul is the birth product of the spirit and the body coming together, which would never make sense because whatever my soul desired, I had given in so many different parts in my body. And that is things I see when I love it, I always want to see it. Things I hear when I like listening to it, I always want to hear it. You know, if I see it, I always want to see it. If I taste it, I always want to eat it. And so if I like the way it feels, I always want to touch it. If I like the way it smells, I always want to smell it. So now my soul has introduced things to my body, and my body now craves it. If my soul was listening to my spirit, then it would receive the things that God is saying to it. I could now hear from God and cause my soul to be subject to my spirit. And as I hear from the Lord, obey the Lord, it opens up a door now for me to worship him. And if my spirit is in the place of listening to the Lord, it has dominion over some things that he has created. Why is this essential? Why is this important? Because remember now, last week we talked about the creativity that's in your spirit, not in your mind. The creativity is in your spirit, and it is communicating that in thought, and your mind receives it. If your mind has the ability to condition your body to believe that, it will form those different seats. For instance, you know, for a person that can do a triple backflip, they have to condition their mind, which will now condition their body. So in thought now, if I see it, I can achieve it. And as I see it from a physical perspective, I now condition my body to believe that I can make those different flips. Well, others may not be able to condition their bodies to believe that, and so they may not reach that. You know, there are those that condition their mind to study medicine, and they practice that. They you know, whether it's not just medicine, but mechanics, engineering, to any type of technology, and so they can condition themselves for this. And so their body responds to their thought process. What happens, my friend? What would happen if your spirit now was telling was giving your thoughts something to think about? Or something to do, and you thought about it and condition your body for it. That means that through your soul, your body is now responding to your spirit, because God is speaking to your spirit, This is the image that he made. And because when he finished, he said it was not have to do anything else. That is because we, you know, when we talk about the things that we do and how we do them, we always consider a plan B, right? Because we don't have the confidence that what we did in plan A was going to work. And even in that spirit of creativity, since we haven't done it before, we question the ability of what we're producing in product that people are going to want. You know, we question our ability to do a lot of different things, right? And let me say this, and I hope you take it the right way for all of you all that are listening. It is easy to go to work for someone. It is difficult to do your own thing. That's only because it is your soul that is dictating the outcome, not your spirit. If your spirit leads you down to do something, that means that that in vision, God has already prepared, because anytime God releases a vision, you being his vision, he prepared for the vision before it came. And so when God gives you a vision, then he's already given a provision for the vision, meaning that what you need for the vision is already there. So when God speaks to your spirit that something is there for you to do, your spirit now has to connect that communication piece and thought in your mind. And as it now overcomes your mind, then instantly conditioning your thoughts that it could do whatever God said. And so then now your body has to respond to this, because you're the image of God. Your provision, you have dominion over it. I know that sounds crazy. Dominion over your provision. Watch it now. This is not a name it claim. This is not a religious perspective or conversation. This is what the writer here was sending as a message unto you. You know, the reader, the one that would read this and that would recognize that when God wrote this, it was only God and his image. There was no pastor. There was no preacher. There was no teacher. There was no evangelist. None of this, because you're now standing in a place where it's only you and God. Only you and God. Introduction to God is you and him. And not to be misconstrued, because when he made them, not him, when he made them, it was male and female. The spirit of them he created in his image. Says something now. That was the image of male and female. And both of us, male and female, are made in the image of God. Think about it now. Some of you all might be asking a question that you may think is crazy. But it is the image of God that is male and female. The image of God, I'm going to keep saying this, is male and female, right? And we will have to go deeper into chapter 2 to see how he separated the two. But they're still in his image. Dear heart, I need you to really be it now, because this is going to make you really think about some things that religiously you are saying. For for the men that have kept their thumb down on women. The day that this woman realizes that she is the image of God and that she has dominion, her spirit has dominion over the provision for the vision that God has given her, and if that vision was you, she's wasting her resources if you don't hear it from God. For the women that don't believe that men are leaders, that don't think they're taking their rightful place as if you know what their rightful place is. When God introduces himself to this man and he really sees God and understands he's going to obtain provision because God is the provider. And God gave him authority like he gave you in your spirit. Your spirit has dominion over everything he had created because God didn't want you praying or coming in his presence asking him for anything. He gave it to you ahead of time. Well, if that ever sink in your spirit, if it was in your spirit, but if you ever get past your own thoughts, if you get past yourself to really realize that the very thing that you're seeking for, you have dominion over. God has given you dominion over it. I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to talk about this for the next 10 minutes. It is in my heart that you receive this. It's in my spirit that you know this, that the thing, the very earth that you're walking on, God gave you dominion over. The very fruit that you eat, God gave you dominion over. The food that you eat, the air that you breathe, the sun that gives you night and day, the things that creeping upon the earth that could cause you danger, he gave your spirit dominion over it. Could be looked at in a foolish thought. But grab a hold to it. Because in that very thought are the things that he's pushing your way. He's pushing it towards you now. He's not doing anything other than pushing it directly towards you. All he wants you to do is come into his presence and worship him, which means now that you have to hear from him. You have to now hear the voice of God. And now after you hear from him, you have to obey what he's asking you to do. Because once you do that, you bring to him the results of hearing from him. And he opens up a door for you to come in. Because only in worship can God bring you in and open up other doors for you. You can't walk into worship. You have to have something that allows you to worship him. And I'm talking about lifting your hands and closing your eyes and crying. That's emotional. True worship comes from your spirit. And he sends a witness into your spirit to identify you heard me and you obeyed me. This is some real stuff, dear heart. This is real. This has no Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, apostolic, holiness, none of those things. It has no twist to it. You ain't got to give your neighbor a high five. You don't have to run around, jump up, spin around three times. You ain't got to do all that. All you have to do is listen to God speak to your spirit. And when you grasp a hold of what he just said to you, you can now obey. I don't care how crazy what God has just told you to do. The only way you can find out whether that was God's voice or not is to do it. That's the only way. If you don't do it, how do you know it's God? If you do it and it doesn't work and God speaks to you and says, I didn't tell you to do that, then now you're tuning your ear to hear the voice of God. And you're not waiting for the preacher. You're not waiting for the pastor. You're not waiting for the evangelist. You're not waiting for the prophet. You're not waiting for the apostle. Because you are responsible to hear from God for you. He created you in his image and his likeness. God did this that you would have a free course walking into worshiping God. A wise woman once told me that if a man or woman can't hear from God, how can he obey God? You know, and for those that hear from the Lord, how foolish would it be not to obey him? Think about that. A God that loves you is speaking to your spirit. That's what he made. He's not speaking to your soul. He's not speaking to your body. He's speaking to your spirit. And your body came from the earth, and he gave your spirit dominion over the earth. I wonder if he spoke something in your spirit concerning your body, would you believe him? Would you take the necessary precautions that he would lay upon you? Dear heart, I hope you have heard what I'm saying to you tonight. This is the introduction. This is the patient. And tonight we cross from chapter 1 into chapter 2. But everything that God did in chapter 1, it was finished, and it was good. There was no need for him to redo what he had done. There was no plan B for God. Only him wanting you. Think about that. God wants you, even when you don't even know who he is. He wants you. He's chosen you. He created your spirit. Well, dear heart, I want to go into a word of prayer. And as we close out tonight, out that hour, you know, doesn't take long, and I could probably go all night. And I don't want to do that. But I want you to go back into Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26. Read all the way down till you complete that chapter. So for those who don't know, there are 31 verses in that. So when you read verse number 25, you're going to read six more. You're going down to verse number 31. And then you can go over and read the first seven verses in Genesis chapter number 2. Dive into this. Make your presentation clear. So when God speaks to you, he's not speaking to you from a religious perspective. He's speaking to you from a place in which you can hear him and obey. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm grateful, Father, for the place that you have placed me in. And God is not judgmental. It's not religious, Father. It's just for those people that are looking to know you and want to know you and have struggled with mainstream religion and Christianity and Buddhism and the other things that have been laid out to where they said the pathway to know you. And God, you know how our minds work. And that's why you created our spirits first. Father, speak into our spirits. talk to us, oh God. Make it loud. Some of us need clarity, God. Some of us need you to shake us in our spirit, to speak loudly and not calmly, Father. Some of us need for you to change our direction or to shake us to the point to where you've shaken us out of this conscious state we think we're in and actually walking in it in an unconscious state. But God, you, Father, speak to us. Let your voice pierce our soul, oh God, as you talk to our spirit. Father, let it go straight into our soul. Father, we thank you, oh God. Father, we thank you, oh Lord, for keeping us safe thus far in this earth when people are dying. There are many requests out here, oh Lord. Father, help us see what your provision is for us, that when we come to you, we're just worshiping you. We're not asking for stuff or things. We just want you. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, you know, again, this is Apostle Johnny Sword. I don't want to make this about me. You know, God has blessed me with this platform, and I'm going to continue to use it. I'm just a good old brother. I've studied, and God has blessed me to do different things and to really dive into biblical content, things that are outside the Bible, you know, and to really discover the roadmap that he is laying out for me, because I can't tell you the roadmap that he may be laying out for you, you know. And I want you to study. Pick up the book of Genesis and read the first two chapters. Find some other material, not all of these different things that point to a religious side of understanding these writings, but find some original writings, some original context so you can grab a hold of that, and it will change your life, I guarantee you. You know, again, God bless you. You know, I have a few seconds left. And in those few seconds, you know, as you read, you know, just don't be readers. Dig deep, study. Amen. God bless you all. Until next Tuesday, if it be the will of the Lord, I'll see you then. Thank you.